He's always sweet, regardless of situation and regardless what you go through, because you can call on him when nobody else will answer their phone. That's why he's so sweet. Usually, before I start with something funny. It was a man who was visiting different churches and different congregations. And as he was going to the different congregations, he noticed a gold phone at every church he would go visit. So he went to church in Texas, and he is like, you know what, I'm gonna ask what this is all about, because I see this gold phone everywhere I go. So he went and asked one of the members, and they said, well, it's a phone call where you can call heaven at any time, $1,000 per minute. So he went to another church, seen the same gold phone, but this time it had a sign up, it said $500 per minute. So one day he comes on to the Apple Valley Church of Christ, and he sees the gold phone, and he sees free. And then he asks, well, why is it free here? He is like, because the closer you get to heaven, everything's free. Right. So you got to understand, everybody else might put a tax on it, but when you come where you believe and God is real, it's always free. Amen. So take that with you. Today, I would like to talk about, I'm going to come from Numbers chapter 16, where I'll be pulling from, but I'll be having other verses, but got a few titles, and you can choose which one you want. And the title I want to run with was Puppet or Puppet Master. And I got that from a little movie I watched, but it was Puppet or Puppet Master or when will you cut the strands of sin? See, because I remember as I growing up as a child, the old Walt Disney movie, Pinocchio. Amen. See, Pinocchio was a wooden boy that got carved by Geppetto. He had strings and everything else attached to him. When he had the strings attached to him, he moved the way Geppetto wanted him to move. But one day, Geppetto wished upon the North Star, and Pinocchio woke up, but he was not a real boy. He no longer had strings attached to him, but he was able to move freely. See, Pinocchio, when he lied, his nose would grow. See, as Christians, when we lie, we don't have any tails like that. We don't know if dying, telling the truth, only God knows that. But see, I'd rather tell the truth than keep running with the lie, because eventually God's going to catch us in that lie and God's going to deal with this. Right. See, Pinocchio wanted to become a real boy, but Pinocchio had to do a few things to become this real boy. He had to stop lying and show courage. So one day after Pinocchio decided to stop lying and start telling the truth, he got his wish. He became a real boy. But I'm here to ask you today, when will we start doing right and stop lying and start living the life as an ambassador? See, God is not through with us. He left us on this time set of life to get it right. So you're going to read about a man who influenced other people. See, just like Pinocchio, if y'all can recall the little tale, the guy, the little kids on the street told Pinocchio, hey, do this, do that, do this, do that. And Pinocchio followed him. He was very easily influenced. See, sometimes as Christians, we're influenced by the world too. See, some people say, well, Sunday, I can make it next Sunday because today's football Sunday. You know, when football come around, especially the Super Bowl, well, they got a 5 o'clock service. Well, I can't because the game started at 3. See, it's all sorts of excuses, but who dictates your life? Are you going to be like Pinocchio? Or are you going to be like a true ambassador of Christ? See, when you go to Numbers chapter 16, it's about these three men who influence a whole congregation of people. Out of their influence, they sent them to their death. See, as ambassadors, we're supposed to be the light of the world. We should learn something from this text we're about to get into. Charon, son of, I'm going to murder their names, Israel, the son of Cathron, the son of Levi, and certain Rebulites, Doran and Amram, sons of Ebrah, and sons of Pethe became insolent and rose up against Moses. Mm-hmm. With them, 250 Israelite men, mm-hmm, well-known community leaders who had been anointed members of the council. Wow. See, he didn't just get anybody. He didn't come and just say, I'm going to get the members. He said, I want well-known people. I want people that have power and influence too. I want somebody that can shake the tree. See, it's just like the president. He don't want us. He want the Senate to have his back. See, he's going through all this stuff, we can't do nothing for him. It's the senators that has to make the decision now. So now he's running to them. Only time he wants us is when it's time to get in, voted into the House. Amen. See, he wants somebody of a reputation now because he's in deep water. But see, they only could do so much for him. They came as a group to oppose Moses and Aaron and said to them, "You have gone too far. The whole community is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is with them. Why then do you sit yourself above the Lord's assembly?" See, they came challenging not Moses, but God.
That's right.
See, Moses didn't want that position. God gave him that position. See, when they came, they were ready to fight. They said, "Who are you to sit yourself above us? Who are you?" And you got to understand, these are Levites now. They weren't even included in the promise. They just got blessed to get in the promise because of what Israel had done. So you got to go and understand why the Levites were even included. You got to go dig into that Old Testament to find out that the Israelites were intermarrying when God told them not to. But see, God got so much love for them that he said, "Not only I'm going to let you come in, I'm going to give you a position." See, what a blessing they had, and they didn't even know it. But see, they were so greedy. They were so angry. They wanted more than they can really bite, really digest. They didn't understand this. So after they get these 250 people, and the sad part about it, they got the Israelites that seen the Red Sea get split open, that seen manna come from heaven. See, we can sit here all day and say, "Well, I'm members. I know I got the truth." But then somebody comes and tell you something and you stray away. You really got to question your Christianity. You really got to question your ambassadorship. Will you stand firm? Because the Bible says the Antichrist will come, will say, "Oh, Jesus didn't come. He wasn't real." That's the Antichrist. That's right. Preaching a doctrine that's not true. Right. You're going to have some that say Jesus here, Jesus is there. Paul said that a long time ago. Don't listen to that doctrine.
Right.
But see, when you were listening for itching, that doctrine that make you feel good, you go out here on a high horse feeling good, but ain't did nothing but made you feel good. And that's all it was a feeling. See, when Moses heard this, this is the part we need to understand. When Moses heard this, he fell on his face. See, Moses knew the wrath of God. See, Moses didn't want them to die. Moses wanted them to have life. See, just like Geppetto, every time Pinocchio got in trouble, what did Geppetto do? He chased it after him. See, Geppetto loved that wooden boy so much, he even got swallowed by a whale. So you got to understand, Jesus loves so much, even when we sin, he's still chasing after us. Even when we're not here, Jesus is still trying to get us because he don't want to see to burn forever in hell. See, the thing about it, even when Satan left, he influenced some angels. God could easily said, "Nope, I'm just going to start over." But God said, "Go ahead and take them with you." They don't understand what's in store for them. See, it's our job to preach and let people understand you don't know what's in store for you on this last day. But see, we got to be righteous. See, we can't do like Pinocchio, back and forth, because we understand right from wrong. Pinocchio didn't really understand that. He had to learn trial and error. But when he got it right. See, Moses didn't want nobody to die, but you got to look at why Moses did this. When you look at James chapter 3, verses 13 and 18, once again, that's James chapter 3, 13 and 18. "Who is wise and understands among you?" That's a question I'm asking you, church. Who is wise and understands among you? Because if you understand, you understand what a shepherd is. You understand when a shepherd asks you something to be responsible with what the shepherd is telling you. We say the elders are the shepherds, right or wrong?
Right.
We agree on it, right?
Right.
Okay, then. So when they call out, what do we do? Do we like Pinocchio and wander off and figure it out on our own and get hit over the head a few times? Should we do that?
No.
Or should we just listen to what they got to say? Because they're supposed to be our shepherd. They're supposed to be God in the flock, right or wrong?
That's right.
Okay, then. Once again, that's James. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitterness, envy, and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic, For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and an every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who saw in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. You gotta understand. Does yours come from the heavenly or is it earthly? See, sometimes you gotta reflect on your life as ambassadors. Sometimes you really gotta understand. Have we been down here too long and we partially act like we need to stay down here forever? Do you understand one day that we're gonna go home? And one day judgment will come. Are we caught up in this game, in this earthly thing? See, because when I used to run the streets, I was caught up in the streets fully. I would go to church on Sunday, take communion on Sunday, give tithing on Sunday. And as soon as church was over, I'm running and doing my thing. That wasn't right. See, some of us, like they say, come here. Are we in tune? Are we really understanding? Are we really getting the point? Is change really coming in our life? See, there's a man that made a song, said, I was born by a river and I keep on a running just like the river flows. It's an old song. See, he kept on running because he was born by a river and the river kept running. He understood why he was running. But when you listen to the song, it's got some real stuff to it. Sam Cooke, real good stuff to it. That's why I like the old songs, because when they sung something, you really got some understanding. It ain't like today, Bobble Wobble, and they millionaires. So you got to really understand. You really got to reflect on your life. Because is your wisdom come from earthly, or does it come from the Heavenly Father? See, the Levites had no grain, no salt, no nothing in the game. But yet God seemed fit, just like he seemed fit to give us a chance. We didn't have no salt in the game neither. It was just for the Israelites. But you know what God said? I'm going to give y'all all salvation. I'm going to let y'all have this salvation. I'm going to give y'all a chance. But do we do like the Levites and ruin that chance? Things ain't going my way. I don't feel it should go that way. I don't feel things should be done this way. Complain, complain, complain. That's just what the Israelites did. What are we doing to fix the problem? What are we doing to fix the body? Are we just sitting down complaining? See, let's get back to Numbers. See, verse 8 now. Moses also said to Aaron, now listen, you Levite, isn't it enough for you that God of Israel has separated you from the rest of the Israelites community and brought you near him himself to do the work of the Lord's tabernacle and to stand before the community and minister to them? He has brought you and all the fellow Levites near himself, but now you are trying to take the priesthood too. He gave them a chance to just do something in the body. We got a chance to do something in the body, and what do? Sometimes we don't want that responsibility. Sometimes we like, you know what? Whoever's doing the classes, let them continue to do the classes. I don't want that responsibility. I don't want that care. It's too much for me. See, they got responsibility, but they wanted more responsibility. They said, we want the priesthood now. We want something that we weren't even supposed to have in the first place. See, we have able bodies. I don't care if they ache, they pain, we are able to get here. We are able to say, you know what? Thank you, God, for waking me up. We have an opportunity to change each and every day. But do we take that opportunity? Or do we just say grace and mercy? Grace and mercy, grace and mercy. But see, God gives us a chance every day we wake up and open our eyes. Amen. To say, you know what? Forgive me. I have fallen short of glory. Amen. I'm going to change. And not just say it, but actually do something to change. We all have that opportunity. Even the sinner man has that opportunity because they left here for something. There's been many of times where I see my friends die. And I'm like, how can they die? And I was right there with them. Right. See, I had an opportunity to change my life. And guess what? I'm taking it and running it. See, we can say, oh, I've been two tie lights and all this other stuff. But do you really do something with that opportunity? Or do you just be like, you know what? God has granted me another day. Thank you, Jesus. And go about your business. See, you need to reflect on some of these things that God have allowed you to be here for. Amen. It could be for your family, because God can take you away easily. Because when I look at some of my friends that were taken away, I was like, why were they taken away? Maybe it was to save one soul. I don't know. But see, we need to really think about this. Verse 11. It is against the Lord that you and all your followers have band together. Who is Aaron that you should stand and grumble against him? Then Moses summoned Duran and Amram and the sons of Elam, but they said, we will not come. See, we say, oh, we do what the shepherds say. But yet they got to sit up here and say, who going to teach class? Who going to do this? Who going to do that? See, Moses was their shepherd. But what did they start doing? We ain't going nowhere. I ain't going to listen to what you got to say. I ain't going to listen to nothing you got to say. I'm going to do what I feel is best. See, they got a little puffed up. They got a little big headed. See, some of us think we understand the doctrine. Some of us say, you know what? I ain't got to do that. I ain't got to be concerned about doing it. I'm going to do what I think is best. Well, what's the use of having a shepherd? What's the use of having an elder? What's the use of me even up here preaching? So you got to understand, this is what we don't want to do. They said, we're not going to come. For the man that gave them manna, that did all this stuff, we're not going to come. We're going to do what we think is best. See, that's not right. When you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 12 and 14, once again, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 12 through 14. And I will keep on doing what I am doing in order to cut the ground from under those who want an opportunity to be considered equal with us in the thing they boast about. For such people are false apostles, deceitful workers, misguiding as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself disguises himself as an angel of light. This is not surprising then, if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what is in their actions. Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Satan worshipers deceive themselves to say they're doing good things too. See, we come here all day and say, you know what? I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm carrying my cross and I'm carrying somebody else's cross and I'm doing exactly what I'm. Are you deceiving yourself? Because when you look at Titus, it tells us what to do, right? We all read it. We all agree to it. But what are we really doing? Are we just sitting here? What are we doing? We need to understand what this word is telling us. If they say Satan disguised himself as an angel of light and his followers deceive people, they do it all the time. Satan is the biggest trick in the world. Amen. People say, oh, ain't no heaven or hell. Satan love it. Satan love it to death. Because when you think there's no heaven or hell, you just run loose. This is the only life. I ain't gonna have no judgment. I ain't gonna have no nothing. So you got to realize, as a member of the body, you are more than that. You have a soul that will spend eternity somewhere. See, let's get back to Numbers, verse 13. Isn't it enough that you have brought us up out of the land flowing with milk and honey to kill us in this wilderness? Now they're starting to complain. Now, who was brought out of the land of milk and honey? They didn't even get to the milk and honey, but now they're talking about Pharaoh. Who they were beat by. They prayed 400 years to get free, but now they want to go right back to what they used to. See, when things don't go my way, I want to go back to what I'm used to too, but guess what? It don't work that way. Because I know there's better times ahead. See, they said, we were in the land of milk and honey, but yet you were always praying to God to get free. Ain't that something? You pray for your health and strength, and then as soon as you get it, you like, oh, thank you, Lord. I'm about to go do what I think is best. God get you out of a hole, and guess what? You just be like, you know what? I'm thankful. He'll get me out the next one. They were complaining. They said, we left a land when they were getting beat, forced to build pyramids and everything else. Right. And prayed and prayed and prayed for their freedom. Ain't that something? You got to really reflect on that. See, when they went to him and told him this, it says, and now you also want to lord over us? See, they thought Moses wanted to be the boss over them. Moses didn't even want the position in the first place. So he like, y'all coming to complain to the wrong person. Y'all need to go to God and tell this, because God the one that did this to me. And guess what? I took it and ran with it. Verse 14. Moreover, you haven't brought us into the land flowing with milk and honey, or given us an inheritance of fields and vineyards. Now they really tripping. They weren't even worthy to get to the promised land because they still complaining. Don't even know they're not even going to make it there. But yet they still complaining. Yet they still grumbling. Ain't doing nothing to fix the situation, just added on to it. See, and it says, do you want to treat these men like slaves? No, we will not come. You got to go back to verse 12. I'm not going to do it. They still being stubborn. I'm not going to teach a class. I'm not going to worry about the youth. I'm not going to worry about none of that. It's not to beat you down. It's to build you up, people, to reflect on what's going on. See, if we're not here to leave this inheritance to the younger generation, where would a body be? Honestly, where would a body be? If you let your kids or grandkids or cousins or nieces and nephews just grow up with no understanding, and then they come and say, I'm not coming to you, you probably take your belt off and beat they behind. You're not going to do what? I'm going to show you who's going to come to today. See, you want that respect from them, but you won't give God his respect. You got to really understand this, people. God don't take a belt out and whoop us, but guess what? That last day is going to be some whipping going on. And I don't want no part of it. Because I know when I used to disrespect, I got whooped wherever I was at. And it wasn't those days where you called 911, you just got your behind whipped. That's how I was. Well, whatever was there. See, they didn't really understand it. And sometimes I think, church, we need to get better understanding of what we're really doing. Because if we don't want our own household in disarray, why would we want the house of God in disarray? We really need to understand this. We shouldn't want to leave it messed up. We should want to leave it in better condition than when we found it. It's like when you find something and you really cherish it. You go home and you clean it up and you take care of it. You make sure it's shine. You make sure when people come over, you know, oh, that raggedy thing, I found it. But you know, you cherish it. That's how we should do the body. We should cherish it. Like that lost thing that we found and cleaned up. We should always want the body to shine. See, just like Geppetto, he loved that wooden boy so much that regardless what he did, he said, you know what? I'm going to love you in spite of. We need to remember that. See, verse 12 tells us about that. But verse 15, then Moses became very angry and said to them and said to the Lord, do not accept their offering. I have not taken so much as a donkey from them, nor have I wronged any of them. See, he became angry. But you know what? You got to go back to Ephesians chapter 4, 26. Once again, that's Ephesians 4, 26. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. See, Moses was angry, but he didn't sin. See, when we get angry at somebody, we need to understand not to sin. But we got to remember the latter verse, the end of the verse. It said, let not the sun go down on your wrath. That means gonna make amends, people. That don't mean next week. That don't mean next Sunday. That don't mean, oh, well, I'm going to see him Sunday anyway, so I just tell him I'm sorry, and I don't really need it, but I'm going to tell him I'm sorry anyways. No, it means get it right before the sun go down. See, Moses told God, don't accept their offering. I didn't even ask him for no donkey. I didn't ask him for nothing. I got it from you, Lord God. See, verse 16, Moses said to Aaron, you and all your followers are to appear before the Lord tomorrow, and Aaron, each man is to take his censers and put incense in it, 250 censers in all, and present it before the Lord. You and Aaron are to present your censers also. So each of them took his censers, put burning coals in it and incense in it, and stood with Moses and Aaron at the entrance of the tent. When Aaron had gathered all his followers in opposing of them at the entrance of the tent of the meeting, the glory of the Lord appeared to Moses and Aaron. Separate yourselves from the assembly so I can put an end to them at once. See, God said, enough is enough. God said, I'm about to put an end to this. Ain't no contest with me. See, some people want to put a contest. They want to put a church over here. They want to put a church over there. I got more members than you. I got this. My church bigger and all this stuff. God is not a competition God. Because one day he's going to put an end to all of it. And if you're not living right, if you're not doing right, guess what? You're going to find out on that day. See, it's not about a competition. So God says, separate yourself. See, it's funny. Have you ever called somebody and start talking to them on the phone and you just call and tell them, you know what? You missed a good thing at church today. Brother Baker was up there preaching and you just called him to give him some good news. I know he was running his mouth and talked too much. And then instead of you saying, you know what? Stop. Yeah, he sure did run his mouth. You joined the bandwagon. Now, instead of telling about the good news, you gossiping. You done turned all the way around. They forgot about church. They forgot about the scriptures you was going to give her that I gave you. And now you all on the next page. How easy you get entangled in stuff like that. It's just like telling a lie. You know you're telling a lie, but you like, I done went too far now. I got to keep on telling a lie. See, at some point in time, you got to say, you know what? Sister, brother, I didn't call you for that. I didn't call you for this mess. I call you to give you some scriptures. But see, are you strong enough to do that? Or do you play the role of devil's advocate? I'm going to play both sides. I'm going to keep them on my side so when I call them, they can tell me about the mess and then they blah, 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 back, forth, back and forth. See, at some point in time, you got to say, you know what? I didn't call you for that, brother or sister. I called you to give you the good news. And if you want to talk about that, call somebody else. Because I'm not here to be a servant of the devil. I'm here to be an ambassador of Christ. See, at some time, you got to put your foot down. Regardless if you're going to ruin a relationship, I'd rather ruin an earthly relationship than ruin it with God. Because God is who I'm going to answer to. Because if you're talking about them, one day they're going to be talking about you. So you got to really understand this. It's about living righteous. Verse 22. But Moses and Aaron fell face down and cried out, O God, the God who gives breath to all living things, will you be angry with the entire assembly when only one man has done this? See, there go that grace and mercy Moses was showing. He was showing this grace and mercy way back in the Old Testament. He fell on his face again. He said, Lord, forgive them. Lord, please, you're going to take all these people because God was ready to take every single one of them. He said, you're going to take all of them, even after you free. And he's talking about the Israelites and everybody now. You're going to take them after you done freed them, after you done did this. He said, I'm about to take them all. You want to rise up against me? Guess what? I'll deal with you right now. But Moses said, you know what? This L-O-V-E, agape. He fell on his face and said, forgive them. How many of us today have to forgive somebody and willing to do it? Holding a grudge that happened 40 years ago. Person dead and gone. And you still holding a grudge, still upset, still got this stuff bottled up. See, you know what? When you take a bottle of pop and you shake it up over time, okay, and then you pop it open, what happens? It explodes everywhere. Why not release that? See, even when you shake it up and you hold it in, if you release the top real slow, it'll come out with no popping or anything. But see, some of us got some of this anger bottled up in us so much that we're going to explode one day. See, Moses said, you know what? Forgive them, Lord God. And they done rolled Moses them. You got to understand what Moses went through. They grumbled against Moses time after time. Time after time. But Moses still fell on his face and said, forgive them, Lord God. We need to take a page from Moses. He said, forgive them, Lord God. Please don't wipe them all out because one man. Then the Lord said to Moses, verse 23. Say to the assembly, move away from the tents of Coran, Doran, and Amram. Moses got up and went to Doran and Amram and the elders of Israel and followed him. He warned the assembly, move back from the tents of these wicked men. Do not touch anything belonging to them or you will be swept away because of their evil sins. He said, you touch anything that belongs to them, I'm taking you with them. Do you really understand the power of God? If God sent them to say today, tomorrow, and yesterday, God can do the same thing to us today. He said, do not touch nothing. And this is just because of one man, Moses. Moses said, God, don't do this to them. When they say the prayers of the righteous availeth much, I believe that. Because one man prayed to God and said, don't take them all. We need to understand this, people. See, it says, verse 26, he warned verse 27. So they moved away. See, now they know. Now they want to get some fear in them. They probably was running, breaking their necks to get away from this. So they moved away from the tent of Charan, Duran, Imran. Duran and Abram had came out and were standing with their wives, children, and little ones at the entrance to their tents. They whole family about to suffer because guess what? Of misguidance. Wrong leadership. See, that's why you got to have somebody strong in your household. Because if you don't, you can easily slip away. See, they say birds of the feather flock together. If you're around a gossiper, you're going to start gossiping. If you're around an ambassador, guess what? You might become an ambassador. So you need to understand who you stay around, what you can end up being at the end of the day. So not only were their suffering, but their children, and everybody else. Verse 28, then Moses said, this is how you will know that the Lord has sent me to do these things and that it was not my idea. If these men do not die a natural death and suffer the fate of all mankind, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord brings about something totally new and the earth opens up its mouth and swallows them with everything that belongs to them and they go down alive into the realm of the dead, and you will know that these men have treated the Lord with contempt. See, Moses was saying, you know what? I was even chose to do this. But if they die natural deaths, then don't follow me because I wasn't sent by God. But Moses said, if the earth opened up, see, here go another miracle being performed. This is God himself doing it this time. Well, Moses said that he knew where his faith lay. As soon as he finished saying all this, the ground under them split apart and the earth opened up his mouth and swallowed them and their households and all those associated with Charan, together with all their possessions. They went down alive into the realm of the dead and everything they owned. The earth closed over them and they perished and were gone from the community. At their cries, all the Israelites around them fled, shouting, the earth is going to swallow us too. That reminds us when we had the first school shooting. Everybody wanted to pray. Everybody was afraid. Nobody wanted to go to school. Nobody wants to go to the grocery store. Now when you hear about a school shooting, guess what? Oh, that's nothing new. It's like we become null and dull to this. 9/11 happened. Everybody was praying. Churches were overflowed. People getting baptized on a daily. Now you hear about 9/11, guess what? You keep on, okay, it's just for me to call in for work. You become dull to it. You really don't understand. See, tragedy strikes, but what do? We get closer to God for a minute. Just like the Israelites start running, shouting, oh, the earth gonna kill us too? They done seen all the miracles God did. They seen the Red Sea. They seen all this. But yet they were running and screaming now with their heads cut off like chickens, knowing all they have to do is pray to God. All you have to do is, like the song says, surrender all. You got to remember this. But see, Moses went back and said, don't worry. You know what? I got you. God gonna forgive you once again. It's just like us in our daily life. God forgive us once again. But will we keep on doing what we're doing? Or will we become true ambassadors? How Pinocchio became a real boy. See, go home and read the rest, but we're going to verse 41. I'm almost done running my mouth. The next day, the whole Israelite community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. You have killed the Lord's people, they said. Look how fickle they are. One minute they praising them. The next minute they damning them. They said, you have killed the holy people. The ones that went against you, the ones that didn't have nothing, the Levites, you killed them. You took them away from us. Just wanted something to talk about. Just something to complain about. For what? As an ambassador, you should just be happy you woke up to see another day. You might have pains, you might have aches, you might have family members that ain't in the body. But guess what? You got another day to talk to them. You got another minute to say, thank you, Jesus. You got another second to take a breath in. Everybody go. There are some people that can't even do that because they're on a machine doing it for them. You really got to look how blessed you are. You really got to understand what God has done for you this morning. See, you can't be fickle like these people were fickled. Verse 42. But when the assembly gathered in the opposing to Moses and Aaron and turned toward the tent of meeting, suddenly the cloud covered it and the glory of the Lord appeared. See, God's getting involved once again. 43. Then Moses and Aaron went to the front of the tent of meeting. And the Lord said to Moses, get away from this assembly so I can put an end to them at once. And they fell face down. Boy, Moses is a forgiving people, ain't he? We need to really take a page from Moses. Even after they did all this to Moses, time after time after time after time after time, Moses said, you know what? I forgive them. Moses not only forgave them, he went to God and prayed for them. How many of us will pray for our enemies right now? Don't raise your hands. How many of us will really go feed our enemies? How many can really say, you know what, I'm going to bring you to church? They went against Moses time after time, but Moses said, you know what, I'm going to love him. He went to God. God came down and said, you know what, enough is enough. I'm also wipe him. I'll wipe him clean. Only two of them are going to make it anyways to the promise. The rest of them are going to wonder. But see, God listened to Moses. Go home and read the rest of Numbers. He listened to Moses. He spared their lives. He said, you know what? You faithful, Moses, so I'm going to listen. See, when you got somebody in your household, you ain't got to beat them down. Pray for them. Pray for them. It says pray without ceasing. Y'all know what ceasing means. Keep on praying day and night. Because guess what? They ain't going to do what you want, but they'll do what God want them to do. But you got to be living that life as an ambassador. You got to be living that life not as a puppet, but as a puppet master. And you're going to be like, well, how can I be a puppet master? See, when you get saved, God gives you something called the Holy Spirit, right, part of the Godhead. Amen. See, when you got a part of God in you, you become a puppet. You become a puppet master, not a puppet. See, when you sin, you become a puppet to sin. See, but when God's in you, you lord over sin. See, that's why I say puppet or puppet master. We all got a decision to make, people. You can be a puppet walking around thinking you're doing good, but even Satan says is an angel of light. Or you can be a puppet master and have the Holy Spirit shining everywhere you go, leading people to the faith with no strings attached. You know how they get those contracts and say no strings attached, and you read the fine print, you find out there's a million strings attached to it. God didn't attach no strings to his salvation. He said, just serve me and live righteous. If something's bothering you today, guess what? You can all leave it here today at the church. God will take care of it. You ain't got to worry about leaving it here and coming back next week and it's still going to be here. You ain't got to worry about that. God going to take care of it. Like you said, leave all your cares on him. To end, it says, do you suffer from the seed of rebellion in your hearts? And is it hard to learn how to follow God in Jesus Christ's name? See, sometimes we do something because we don't understand. We're rebelling against God. It's like a child. You know, when your parents told you to do something, you can read back when you was a kid. It ain't been that long ago, even though it's probably been years and years. It ain't been that long ago. Right. And when your parents tell you, oh, this ain't right, this ain't right. And you say, you know what? I'm going to learn and do it my way. And you find out, oh, I should have listened because they were right. They was trying to tell me something for my own good. All it was a warning, people. Every sermon you hear is a warning. Every time you come here is a warning. Every time you wake up is a warning to say, get your life right with God. Amen. See, we can impose God all we want, but that day of reckoning gonna come. We have a time, if anybody's not saved, to come get water baptism, to get their life right. If you know you done somebody wrong, you know that you can do more for the body. If you know you can teach and you can do other things, you can get it right all today. Like I said, there's something for everybody to do here. Everybody. It don't got to be left with the same person. You don't want to burn these people out, because guess what? If you know you can do something you're not doing, the blood going to be on your hands too. You can't use a person until they ain't got nothing left. See, these people use Moses. They abuse Moses. And Moses one day got tired of it. He struck a rock, but Moses cut his own blessing short. We got to understand, we got to follow the good parts of Moses and not the bad parts, people. I leave y'all. Will y'all be puppets or puppet masters? Thank you.